We're here to hear the word of God. Tom Myrishiro is going to bring that to us. Oh, here you are, right there. You are right there, Tom. You are eager. You are eager to share this word. You know, that's what Jesus said at the Last Supper. You know, he said, I'm eager to share this with you. And so Tom is eager to share the word. In fact, I think on your Facebook it says, I like to share the good news, or I love to share good news. What does it say?
I do. I love to share good news.
I love to share good news. So Tom's going to share the good news with us. So bless you guys.
Awesome. This thing is drooping on me. Can you... let's do that. Here we go. All right, great. Good morning. Happy Easter. While I put this new mic in its place. There we go. All right. I want to jump right in with a question. And that question is, have you ever felt like God was too late? Maybe you prayed and you prayed and God didn't seem to answer. And now you're wondering if God is even real or if he cares at all. And you're emotionally raw, mentally drained, and the future does not seem very clear or bright or full of opportunities. Well, I want to share a story with you from the scriptures, John chapter 11. Jesus is getting ready to visit some friends and their siblings. It's two sisters and a brother. And they're pretty close friends with Jesus. They have more than a casual relationship with him. They know who he is. And they are able to sort of communicate with him what's going on in their lives. And Lazarus, the brother, he ends up coming down and getting sick. And he didn't just get a little sick. He got sick enough that he had to lay down. I thought this story might be appropriate, you know, during this pandemic where we know of and are sort of worried for ourselves about getting sick. So I felt like this might be a good place to start. These three siblings, they love Jesus. They believe in Jesus. They think of him as even more than a friend. In fact, they think of him as the Messiah. And they've seen him do things. They've seen him do miracles. They've walked with him. They know about his character. And so they send a message to Jesus and the two sisters, and they say, all right, I guess my mic died. Thanks for beeping. I'm going to go back just a moment and just recap what I just said. Jesus was friends with these siblings, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus. And Lazarus was feeling unwell, so much to the point that he had to lay down. And so Lazarus was not necessarily able to ask Jesus to come, but these two sisters on his behalf said, Jesus, the one you love is sick. And Jesus says, in verse 5 of John chapter 11, he says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. And he frames all this around the words, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, I love the fact that Jesus right away answers. He always answers our prayers when we call out to him, like Mary and Martha called out to Jesus. He was ready and willing to show his support for them. God will be glorified through this situation. And maybe you're praying for something right now, and you're wondering if God is going to help. And you've asked God to help, and maybe he's spoken to your heart. Maybe you feel like he's even said inside your spirit, or you even found a scripture to stand on, a promise or a word of encouragement that led you to believe that God is going to move on your behalf. And God certainly did that here in John chapter 11 for Lazarus. He says, "I will be glorified through this situation." And you can see and almost imagine the faith that would have rose up within Mary and Martha and even Lazarus in his bed, that the Lord loved him, that the Lord loved them, and he was going to help them in their distress. Lots of faith when God speaks, especially when you get that word from God and it sinks into your heart. He makes you a promise that he's going to help. And then Jesus waits 2 days after he says that. And so when we're in these situations, we hear from God, our faith rises up, we feel strong, we feel confident that God's going to move, but it doesn't change instantaneously. That sickness lingers, maybe even gets worse. You're standing for God when you're going through this brutal divorce or custody battle for the kids, and it's not going your way, but God has spoken and you believe, hey, he's going to move. Things don't look too good at the job. Maybe they're laying people off, but God has spoken and you trust him and you think, hey, God is going to somehow get me through this. He's going to preserve my job. I'm going to go on. So 2 days pass. And you know, when you're taking care of someone who's sick, 2 days can seem like a very, very long time. 2 days pass, and Jesus hasn't even started traveling yet. And then as we continue to read, we learn that Jesus, the last time he'd passed through that area near Bethany, that he'd faced adversity. People were trying to kill him, faced some trouble of his own, and his disciples were concerned. They said, "Didn't they try and stone you the last time you were there? Are you sure it's a good time to go back for your friends?" And Jesus says an interesting thing. He says, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by the world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." Now, the New Testament calls Jesus the light of the world. And he's the light of the world because he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through him. But also, it's because he walked in his Father's light, the Father in heaven. He did exactly what God the Father would have him do. He was obedient even unto death, on a cross, which is why we celebrate, you know, this weekend, Good Friday, where he was crucified for our sins, and Easter Sunday when he rose from the dead. So Jesus is in the light. He walks in his Father's light. He reflects the Father's glory. And we're told if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll shine like stars. That's what Philippians says. And he's giving us a hint in his own response, that he was facing trouble of his own. They wanted to stone him then, and he said, "I'm not worried about adversity. I'm not worried about being stoned. I walk in the light, and I can see. I have clarity in the light." And he says this not because he was bragging about his own relationship with God, but he was giving us a hint for ourselves that if we walk in the light, then things are clearer. We can see obstacles as they come. It's when we're in the dark, when we don't know what's going on, that we stumble around and trip and fall. And when we walk with God, we're never in the dark. He speaks words of encouragement to us, words of life to us, and those words reflect his glory, and they illuminate who he is as well as the obstacles that we face. But because he's the light, we don't have to be subject to those obstacles in the same way. We have wisdom when we face adversity because we're not walking and bumbling around in the dark. We know what's going on. We can see a clearer picture when we walk with God. So after he says this, he says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. And they're like, oh, that's good. That's good that he fell asleep because when you're sick, you need rest. That's good. You're going to go visit him. He'll have had a rest. And then you can help him out. And Jesus said, no, you're not understanding what I mean. Lazarus has passed away. He's dead. And they went, oh, okay. And Jesus says, well, don't worry. I'm super glad that I didn't leave when I got the memo. I waited, and it's for your sake. Again, Jesus did all these things for our sake. I waited so that you would believe, that you would trust me, that I could be glorified, that the Father could be glorified. But let's go to him now. So they traveled now on to the city, and Martha met them before they even reached the house. And Martha says something interesting. She said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that God, even now, God will give you whatever you ask. She makes a confession of faith. Even in her sadness and grief, even in her doubts, even though her faith might have emotionally been rocked a little bit and her feelings hurt because Jesus didn't come when she called in that moment. And maybe you, having had that word from God, held on and trusted him, and then the temperature of the situation turned up a notch or two. Maybe it went all the way to 25 and all hell broke loose. And you were wondering, God, you spoke. You said you'd be there. You said you'd glorify yourself. And then things got worse. And even though you want to hold on, life plays out. The divorce is declared final. The children are removed from your home. Your bank account goes into a negative overdraft, and the fees upon fees begin to collect on themselves and compound. You have to file for that bankruptcy. The doctor gives you that report that says there is nothing else to do and it's time to pull the plug. Whatever that situation you're facing, where you thought you trusted God and you thought God was walking with you and you had hoped and prayed for the very best, it seems like God maybe waited a couple days and missed that moment where he could be glorified. And now you're wondering, does God really know what's going on, or is he just too busy? Is he so busy helping all these other people, especially in light of a global pandemic, that my number hasn't come up yet? And while God could have made a difference, he didn't. Jesus says to Martha, he says, these famous words that evangelists like to preach. Your brother will rise again. And Martha responds, in faith, I know he will rise again on the last day. Working through the emotion of God's promises, trying to get her head around the fact that God did not help her in her moment of need, but that one day he will help her. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And Jesus Christ is saying to you this morning, whatever you've been through, however bad the situation may seem, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Though you may die, you will not see death. Though you may feel like it's over, it's not over. I guess you guys like that part, huh? Jesus tells Martha to go get her sister Mary. And we just to get an idea of how intimate Jesus is with this family, Mary is the one that took the expensive perfume. Do you remember this story? And she breaks it on the ground. And then she's, you know, preparing Jesus to go die for the sins of the world on the cross. And she breaks that expensive perfume and she's weeping. And she takes her hair and her tears and she cleans his feet. And then she takes the perfume that's on the ground in the broken glass. And well, I don't know if it was glass or pottery or whatever. And she begins to wipe her tears and the oil on his feet, the perfume on his feet. So these are good friends of Jesus's. And he has the same conversation with Mary as he did with Martha. And she says the same thing. She says, Lord, if you were here, this wouldn't have happened. And others began to say and whisper amongst themselves, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? And then the two words, the shortest verse in the whole Bible, is written. It says, Jesus wept. Now, Jesus was seeing the grief of all his friends and those who were there to mourn Lazarus at his funeral. Do you think he was crying because Lazarus was dead? Or do you think Jesus was crying for something else? For another reason. It says his spirit was greatly troubled. Jesus, in that moment, in those two words, in that one short verse, it's almost like time freezes and Jesus looks into eternity in both directions and sees all of you in all of your different circumstances where the junk hit the fan and where you're crying out and when you're yelling and screaming and when you're losing your mind and when you're going, what am I going to do? And he weeps for you in that moment, number one, because his child is in pain. And number two, because he wants you to hold on and recognize that he is still strong to deliver you from whatever situation you find yourself in. Amen. Jesus wept when your divorce was final. Jesus wept when your kids got taken away. Jesus wept when you got laid off from your job, when you were sick, when you got the bad report from your doctors. Whatever that situation is, Jesus is with you and he feels things with you in that moment. In that moment when you feel like God has forgotten. In that moment where you feel like God has abandoned you and he didn't show up for you when you called. Jesus was deeply moved, and he asks them to take him to the tomb where Lazarus lay dead. And he says, remove that stone. And they said, the guy's been dead 4 days now. It's going to smell. I don't care. Move the stone. When God comes, it doesn't matter how bad your situation stinks. God is still willing to roll up his sleeves and do the heavy lifting to meet you where you are in your circumstance, in that trouble, and deal with whatever death is following you around. And Jesus says to the dead man, Lazarus, come forth. And then you know what happened? That dead man came back to life. He crawled out of that grave with all the grave clothes on. Jesus says, take them off of him. That dead man's alive. Though you may die, you will live. That's what Jesus says. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, they will live. And that's the promise God has for you this morning, this Easter morning. Tom, why are you focusing on Lazarus this morning? Aren't we supposed to be talking about that moment Jesus rose from the dead? Well, it's because for you, this whole text is for you. Jesus prays before he calls Lazarus forth, and he says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for your benefit. I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me. Jesus says this prayer so that you can trust him, that he's always connected to God. But he models this prayer so that you know that when you call out to God, that he's always listening. He's always there. He heard those prayers before. He hears those prayers now. And in his perfect time, he's going to call you forth. So when you think it's over because the relationship is too broken, it's too far gone to ever come back to the way it was, Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. When you've been laid off and unemployment's run out and you don't even know where you're going to get your next groceries from, Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Even if you gave up and you went down to the package store to get your favorite drink and you gave up on all those years that you were sober and tried to drown away your problems in a bottle, Jesus says to you now, Lazarus, come forth. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to give up and to die, so that God can call you back to life. You know, all those years ago when I gave my life to Jesus, I just prayed a simple prayer, but it's not like a magic prayer. It wasn't like I did an incantation and then suddenly I can rise from the dead. It's not a magic spell. It's a relationship thing. I talked to God honestly. I talked to him raw and emotional and broken and messed up. And I just sort of confessed. I laid all my cards on the table before him and said, this is all I got. This is all I have left. And I'm going to push it all on the table in your direction. And I'm out. God, help me. So this is the way I do it. When I always try and pray like it's my first time. Every time I do this, and I pray like this. I say, God, I'm a dope. I'm a dummy. I'm a ding-dong. I have screwed up again, gone my own way, done my own thing, and now there's a big fat mess in front of me. And you know what? I feel all these things. I feel panic. I feel worry. I feel depression. I feel anxiety. I feel all these things. But Lord, what I'm really trying to get at is I'm done with all this. I'm done with trying to figure this out myself. I just want to do it differently. In fact, I don't want to decide anything anymore. I want you to decide what's best for me. And I lay my life at your feet. And you can have it all. You can have the broken pieces and also my unrealized potential. You can have it all. You can have my biggest failures and my hopes and dreams that I'm not sure I can have anymore. Lord, you can have it all. You can have all my promiscuous behavior, but I dedicate my heart to you alone now. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry, but I believe in you. I trust you. And I open up my broken heart to you and say, God, will you come in and walk with me and live with me and direct me. I promise you I'll do the best I can, but Lord, with your help, I will follow you for the rest of my life. And I thank you for this promise of eternal life. I thank you, Lord, that you meet me here and then carry me on from this life to the next. I trust you this Easter Sunday. So take a minute and talk to God where you are. Just take a moment. Express your own heart and desire to follow him, whether it's for the first time or you're making a recommitment this morning. Just take a moment.
So if you're making that commitment to follow Jesus this morning, on the website, Calvary Chapel 316, or if you're on the Ocean Beach part of that website, is a place you can click that says, I'm beginning to follow Jesus. Click there and we'll be in touch with you, give you a Bible, give you some follow-up materials. You can also click a thing there that says text, and then you put the 4 Jesus, the number 4, J-E-S-U-S, just the number 4, J-E-S-U-S. And it tells you there what to do. But the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and so that's a way to confess. And so Tom will give you another opportunity in a moment, but follow along with the words of this song where Jesus is welcoming you in your brokenness, welcoming you in your shame and your pain.
Making a decision to follow Christ today, go to the website calvarychapel316.com. Let us know or text in that you've made a decision by indicating the number 4 Jesus to 97000. Let me just say it again because there's a lot of weird numbers in here. Text to 97000, the number 4 and Jesus, and that indicates you made a decision today. It's been a great honor to be with you. Lord, I pray that you bless these folks as they go on to Easter celebrations and wherever they go from here. Father, I pray that you seal the gospel message that you've put in our hearts today, that not only are you capable of raising from the dead, but you promise us too that even though we die, we will rise. Help us to die to ourselves and walk and live in the abundant life that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Easter, everyone.